The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tonight, we will have the 26th annual MLS All-Star Game from St. Paul, Minnesota. For the second year, the top players in MLS take on the top players in Liga MX, Mexico's top division. Our coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Hard Knocks started up last night, so that got us thinking about 12 years ago on Hard Knocks with Mike Tannenbaum.
Hold on a second here.
Hold on. What more needs to be said, really?
My buddy and I beat Rex in the
talents.
That is so typical of Rex, because, you know, the great, beloved Rex Ryan convinced the camera guys to keep that. We won the competition. I want to set the record straight.
You got to look it all the way into your hands, man. Like, you're still looking up.
Mike
yeah. T. That's just unfortunate.
Mike T, really stop is. Trying to explain it, man.
Yeah.
Stop trying to explain it. You're just not an athlete, and that is by far the most embarrassing thing that I've seen from an NFL executive. I just can't believe that you're out here trying to field punts, and you look so unathletic.
We got to keep the show going.
The viewers at home don't know this, but every morning when we have our meeting, the only person working out on the call is Mike Tannenbaum. So he's the only athlete now here in 2022.
The rest of us are washed up. On the call. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, we got to flip the hour here. Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. We start the 9 o'clock hour eventually with the game of the night between the Yankees and the Mariners. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees, trying to redeem himself. Gave up 6 to the Mariners last time out. Better this time. Bottom of the 7th, no score. 2 outs. Cole sits down a Eugenio Suarez on strikes. Cole, 7 scoreless innings with 8 strikeouts. But Luis Castillo, just as good for the Mariners. Here in the 8th, you see him get Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to ground out. Castillo, 8 scoreless innings, 7 strikeouts. Game heads to extra innings in the top of the 12th, still scoreless. Yankees with a runner on second, nobody out. Kiner-Falefa grounds one up the middle. Matt Brash fields it behind his back. He gets Jose Trevino on a rundown. Trevino called out. Then Kiner-Falefa called out on the base path. Yankees base running blunder would prove costly because in the bottom of the 13th, the Mariners had the bases loaded with one down. And here's Luis Torrens lining the ball to right, driving in the game-winning run for the Mariners, who win it 1-0 in 13 innings against the Bronx Bombers, who have lost 12 of their 19 games since the break and are now tied with the Astros atop the American League standings. It's the first time since April 29th that the Bronx Bombers have a worse record than the crosstown amazing Mets. Savor that, Mets fans. We'll see how long it lasts. To football we go, and on Tuesday, Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension and the league's subsequent appeal of it. Goodell was asked why the league is seeking a 1-year suspension for Watson, and this is what he said.
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
As we await the decision on the appeal, Diana, what more can you tell us?
Yeah, Dan, we've known how the commissioner has felt about this situation, but to actually hear him break it down again for us, it definitely has an impact, and it's certainly very powerful coming from him. As we know, the NFL is looking for a year suspension for Deshaun Watson. So where do we stand now? Deshaun Watson, no matter what happens with this appeal process, will miss 6 games. No matter what is being said out there, there's no possibility for him to actually play in week 1. So he's out. The Browns know this. No Deshaun Watson for the first 6 games. The only thing that could change here are the amount of games, meaning more games that would be added on. So if the NFL were to win this appeal, then that full game suspension could be in play here. But for now, the only thing we know is the first six games, Deshaun Watson will not be part of the Cleveland Browns. But Dan, there is a possibility he can participate in the preseason games. And the Cleveland Browns have a game on Friday. We just don't know whether or not the Browns have made a decision if they're going to play him.
Yeah, interesting. In case people are wondering, how can he play if he's suspended? Suspended players generally can participate in training camp and preseason games. And look, I mean, look, we're doing a sports show here. Deshaun Watson's behavior, what he's guilty of, what he deserves, is all a matter for other people to decide. But in terms of the football of it, you think there's value in Deshaun Watson playing in a preseason game?
Absolutely, Dan. It's been 586 days since he's played in a game. We got to remember, he missed the entire 2021 season. So, although it's unusual, guys, he needs work. Now, what I would do if I was Cleveland, I would make sure that the first offensive line is out there. I would protect him, try to get the ball out of his hands quickly. But he needs the work. And as Diana summarized, he's going to miss a lot of this season as well. So, it's a very unusual situation. Jacoby Brissett is your presumptive starter. He needs the work. But at some point, Dan, Deshaun Watson is your franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. He needs the reps.
He does, and he's learning a new offense, so they'll continue to give him those reps to the extent that they can. Our friend Dan Orlovsky was tweeting about this situation, as he is wont to do, and here's what he had to say. The Browns shouldn't sign Jimmy G. They had their version in Baker and moved on. Now, this, of course, is in reference to former Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield and current 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, who is available in trade because the Niners are moving on to Trey Lance. Rob Ninkovich joining us for the 9 o'clock hour. Rob, let's go right to you. Do you agree with Orlovsky?
I do not. I disagree with Dan. I mean, listen, you can't compare Baker and Jimmy G. You can't. They're completely two different players. So I understand you look at Jimmy G and he's had some injuries. Yes, he's coming back from a shoulder. But as far as a game management perspective, Jimmy G's a guy that you can go out there and you're confident that he can manage the game. And I think Baker sometimes was in over his head, and we know that he had struggles with third down accuracy. Jimmy G can throw the football on third down. He can throw an accurate football. So again, I disagree with Dan, but if the Browns want to salvage this season, there's only one quarterback available to go and get that you know has a high winning percentage and has been in big games, and that's Jimmy G. So I think that that's a good option for the Browns. They can go out and get Jimmy G. They can salvage the season.
Diana, where do things stand on the Jimmy G front with the 49ers?
Well, the 49ers are just sitting back and waiting for all the different scenarios to play out here. And it's a bit of a game of chess right now as they look around the league, because you have all the different options that they're waiting for. We have one, unfortunately, you know, you wait for a team to have a major injury with one of their quarterbacks, and then they become desperate, and then all of a sudden they're in on the Jimmy G sweepstakes. And then, of course, the Cleveland Browns have to be an option for the 49ers to just keep an eye on. Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski was very transparent, saying we have all different scenarios played out and decisions that we're going to make based on those. So they have a plan if Deshaun Watson will be out for one season. We just don't know whether or not that's going to include Jimmy G. But we do know Jimmy G is not part of the San Francisco 49ers 2022 plans. It's Trey Lance's job.
Not part of the plans, but still hanging around, which could conceivably be an awkward situation, but maybe not as awkward as what's going on in Tampa, where the Buccaneers are hosting the Dolphins for joint practices. That means Tom Brady and Tua Tagovailoa are on the same field a little more than a week after an NFL investigation revealed that the Dolphins tampered with Brady to try and get him to come to Miami, presumably to replace Tua. As I mentioned, these two teams will be on the field together this morning for joint practices, and Jeff Darlington is right there on that field as well for us this morning. Look, Jeff, I mentioned it's just over a week ago that the investigation, the results were released and the punishment for the Dolphins, so what more can you tell us about that situation?
Well, Dan, I'll be sure to be out here to cut any awkwardness between Tua and Tom Brady. If I see them and it's getting weird, I'll jump out there and make sure to crack corny joke or something. Look, here's the deal. There's really no reason for it to be awkward. It's not like Tom Brady knows very many people in the Dolphins organization. I understand just the perception. But Bruce Beal is really the guy, the minority owner with the Dolphins, who he won't be out here. He's been suspended. Steve Ross won't be out here. He's been suspended. So really the parties involved here, it just shouldn't be that weird. And by the way, I just want to add this note here. When we were back in January talking about Tom Brady, when he was considering the possibility of joining the Dolphins, it was in a limited partnership, a minority owner role. The idea of him actually being a player for the Dolphins was something that was secondary and not necessarily something that had to happen in order for him to still take that role. And in fact, I talked to the NFL about this, about an owner, a minority owner, actually playing quarterback. He told me that if that were to be the case, if he wanted to play, he would have had to get approval. There would have had to be a vote by all 32 owners. So imagine that. We're talking about Robert Kraft, the Glazer family, all deciding whether Tom Brady could play for the Dolphins while owning a part of the team. It was very far from actually happening. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's only awkward if you make it awkward, Dan.
All right, fair enough. I tried and failed, but Jeff, bring reason into the process. Let's talk about the current quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. What are they looking to see from Tua at these joint practices?
Look, Tua Tagovailoa, by most accounts, one of which I was speaking to last night, said he's had an excellent camp. I saw one of his practices early in camp when he looked outstanding. And, you know, he did have a couple of rusty days at the beginning. But all in all, Mike McDaniel, for one, has been incredibly thrilled with what Tua has done so far. He's got a command of the offense. One of the things that Mike wanted to see from him was just from phase one at the beginning of the offseason to now continued growth, and he's seen exactly that. I'm telling you right now, I was not necessarily sold coming into camp on Tua, but talking to more and more people, I'm actually bullish on his potential with this team. I think that he is actually doing all of the things that people wanted to see out of him. He's setting this up for a very interesting season for the Miami Dolphins.
All right, good stuff there from Jeff Darlington, who, by the way, is standing in front of what we are told is the largest non-American flag currently in the country, that Buccaneers flag. Look at that thing. It's ridiculous. It's mesmerizing. Anyway, we're not talking about flags here. We're talking about football. So, Mike T., when you look at Tua, how important are these joint practices for him?
They're important. He has momentum, as Jeff alluded to. They had a great offseason. He's had a good training camp. He wants to continue that momentum and stack one good day on top of the next. Show command of this new offense. You have a new head coach, new play caller, lots of new weapons highlighted by Tyreek Hill. Go out. Don't let the ball hit the ground. Get in and out of the huddle. No false starts. Play good, clean football and keep working towards opening day.
Nico, how important are these practices for Tua?
I think they're vital. Listen, he's got to stay healthy, number one. I talked about that yesterday. He's got to stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay on the field for a full season. So it's vital that he has a great camp. He has confidence. He goes into week one with a lot of confidence. So then he can carry that confidence through the regular season and stay healthy. So they got to protect him. Got to keep him upright. And he's going to have to perform well in the first quarter of the season.
Diana, the joint practices are not televised as the preseason games are, but what do coaches look for in these that can help them evaluate?
I know. I wish they were, because they're actually closer to live game action than a real preseason game. And let's just start with the boredom. And Ninko, you know this, the boredom of training camp, just to be able to play against different players and a different team immediately gives the entire practice some more juice after a few weeks of just playing against the same people. So that's the first part of this. The second part is what they're actually working on. Both head coaches and the coordinators are meeting before these practices even start to come up with a plan of drills and things that they can do, things that they want to specifically work on, actual situational football. So all of this is so valuable. Forget just for Tua. For really everybody on the field today, this is definitely more valuable than anything you're going to see on TV over the next few weeks.
Darlington, give us a final word on the Tua Tommy show you're about to watch.
I'm actually going to move away from Tua and tell you something I heard last night from a very important Bucs source who told me that Julio Jones, the Bucs recently acquired wide receiver, looks like the 2019 version of Julio Jones out here. So if he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, enjoy that one, Dan.
How about that, Jeff, helping you out with your fantasy football drafts this month. Full service from Darlington. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick the Great showing off his tricks in training camp yesterday. Does he have to be better than ever to get the Chiefs back to the Super Bowl? And speaking of getting back to the Super Bowl, or trying to at least, Aaron Rodgers wants a second ring. What happens if he fails to deliver a title in Green Bay this season? We're talking about it next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check out Pirates infielder Rodolfo Castro. He's going to slide headfirst into third base. Why is he sliding headfirst? Well, he doesn't want to break his phone, which is in his back pocket for some reason. Nico, what is he doing? Why does he have his phone?
The coach is not amused by that. He said, "Hey, coach, take my phone. Take my phone." He looks at it like, "I don't want your phone. I don't want your phone. Come on, dude. You don't need to look at your phone. Why? You don't have to look at your phone. Like, can you put it in the locker room, in your locker while you're playing? Like, that's a foul. That's a foul.
He's texting
you can't
people.
Do that.
You know, BRB. I'm on third base.
It's addiction.
Base. Anyway, let's play fact or fiction.
Cell phone addiction.
Nico, the Rams will get back to the Super Bowl. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. That is fiction. Do you realize how hard it is to get back to a Super Bowl after you've already been there and won it? Like, there's a reason why we haven't seen another team get back there and actually win a Super Bowl since 03-04, the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots. But anyway, it's really hard. It takes a lot. I don't see them getting back there and actually winning it.
Nico flying the flag. Diana, Russell Wilson will lead the Broncos to the playoffs. Fact or fiction?
Fiction. I just think there's too much change. We got new ownership. We got a first-time head coach. We've got a new quarterback. I love what Russell Wilson is bringing to Denver. I think they're going to get there. I just don't think it's going to be this year.
This reminds me of a couple years ago when you said Brady and the Bucs wouldn't make it to the playoffs in his first year. How'd that work out?
Really?
Anyway, potentially good news for Russell. Anyway, sorry, I had to. I just had to. Mike, Aaron Rodgers will regret losing Devontae Adams. Fact or fiction?
That's an absolute fact. We're talking about maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL. Great route runner, great hands. Some of these younger receivers may turn out to be okay. Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson. It's not going to happen overnight. It's impossible to think that he will not miss Adams this season.
All right, well, we have sound from Aaron Rodgers from yesterday. He talked yesterday, and he talked about his goal for this season, which he says remains the same as always.
I don't say this as a cliche. I say this as heartfelt as I can. I want to win a championship. Mm. I've had all the individual success I could possibly ever have dreamed of accomplishing. I've got four MVPs. I'm an honorary black belt. I'd like to win another Super Bowl.
I don't want to get sidetracked, but what is honorary? I don't understand why honorary black belt. What is that a thing? Why it had to be mentioned there? I don't get any of it.
Dan, I'm sure after they saw my punt return capabilities, I will not have a honorary black belt.
No, or be an honorary punt returner, for that matter. But hey, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. Look, I feel like we've done that a lot on the show over the last couple of years, and for good reason. After everything he's dragged the Packers through the last couple of years, and he comes out on top, right? He gets the contract. Jordan Love becomes an afterthought. Does he now have to deliver a Super Bowl to make all of that worth it?
Absolutely. And here's why. If they don't, if we're sitting here in 2 or 3 years, Dan, they have no foundation to build on moving forward. And ironically, we traded for Brett Favre at the Jets. They handed the baton to Aaron Rodgers and they never missed a beat. That's not going to happen this time. Jordan Love is a massive question mark. So this is all in on Aaron Rodgers. His contract was structured that way. This is the ultimate winner-go-home scenario.
Yeah, Ninko, what do you think about the pressure on Aaron Rodgers in light of everything that's happened there?
Is he a four-time MVP winner? Clarifying
an honorary black belt.
Yeah. I've heard him say that a few times. So, I mean, I think he's hanging his hat. He's definitely hanging his hat on that one. But it's a new year for him. He's got a tattoo, first tattoo ever on his forearm.
That's a good
point. So maybe that'll, you know, give him a little edge here this year. But I think that the Green Bay Packers and the fan base would very much appreciate a Super Bowl with how much they've invested in Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Mike T makes the point, Diana. I mean, like, they draft Jordan Love to be the successor, and now it looks like that window might shut before they even need one. Like, how do you look at Rodgers and the Packers and what they have in front of them here in terms of what they have to accomplish?
Dan, if Aaron Rodgers continues to take care of the football like we've seen in seasons past, I don't have any concerns. That's always the X factor with Rodgers that sometimes we leave out when we're talking about some of the great quarterbacks, just how well he takes care of it. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. So now he's got this young receiving core, guys that don't know him, guys that are learning the system, and the whole Green Bay culture is going to be different for them. And Aaron seems to be very confident in them. And he has no problem, because he's been doing a lot of interviews lately, a lot more than he ever has done, even over the last 2 weeks. He has no problem sharing his honest thoughts on his teammates. And it just seems that every time we hear him talking about this team right now, he's talking about the belief he has in them and really how happy he is. And look, you know the old saying, if you have to say you're happy, you're probably not that happy, right? But I like this version of Aaron Rodgers. He got paid. The tat's going to make him tougher, maybe. And he seems to be at peace with where he's at in his life right now. And I think all that's going to be a factor.
That's interesting. Rob, if we talk about the receiving core, but if Rodgers is in a good frame of mind, the running backs are good, the defense looks good, they bring in a new special teams coach to fix that. I mean, is this Rodgers' sort of last best chance here, Ninko, to win a Super Bowl before he retires? A second one?
Well, I think there's a question mark on the young receivers. We know that they're going to have to play really well this year. I think the pass rush is another question mark. Last year, they lacked pass rush. Yes, they have a good defense, but you have to be able to get after the quarterback. The best teams get after the quarterback. I mean, look at the Rams. They got a good pass rush. They can get after the quarterback. So, you know, again, he seems happier. Maybe it was the tea. You know, he's been sipping on some tea lately. So maybe, you know, he's just in a different mindset. And this year, they have a great opportunity because we know the NFC is weak. It's a weaker division as far as the division they're in. They're going to win the division. They're going to have a chance in the playoffs. So if everything comes together, they have a chance.
Yeah, man, he really is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he?
I mean,
the
Aaron
Rodgers, the tea, the black belt, whatever else is going on, the tattoo. It's all fantastic. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a different quarterback, and that guy's name is Patrick Mahomes, who's showing off his tricks in training camp yesterday. Does Mahomes have to be better than ever to get the Chiefs back to the Super Bowl? And practice problems in New England. Is it too early to sound the alarm about Mac Jones and the Patriots offense? We will discuss that next. But before we do that, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's about the Patriots, and it's for our former Patriot, Rob Ninkovich. Tom Brady has played the most games under Bill Belichick. Who has played the second most?
I think I know.
Ninko's going to think about it.
The Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up. We have Sneaky Hembo for Rob Ninkovich. Tom Brady has played the most games under Bill Belichick. Ninko, who ranks second on that list?
Okay, so I have to think about somebody that's been there a long time.
Yep.
And played a lot of games. I'm going with Matthew Slater, the special teams ace, my buddy Matthew Slater. He's got to be number two.
Well, that was a popular guess here in the studio, but it is incorrect. By one game, it's a different special teamer. It's Steven Gostkowski, the kicker, 232. Slater, 231. And then it goes down to Devin McCourty at 212. Full disclosure, I would have guessed McCourty, so I was even farther off than Ninko.
I was in between.
It wasn't my dead answer. Yeah, you're in between what?
I told them in the break. In the break, I said it was either Gostkowski or Slater. Dang
well,
it.
Unfortunately, you don't get any points for that because you guessed the wrong one. But we're going to make you happy now with a little eye candy. This is video of Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback. You've heard of him throwing a behind-the-back pass and hitting the crossbar because, you know, that's apparently just a thing he can do. And then he threw it lefty and hit the crossbar. Anybody? Everyone's speechless, I think.
Oh, yes, we're just so taken aback. Have you ever, Dan, you've probably seen it before. Whenever you cover Kansas City Chiefs game, and if you attend a game, you should get there early. Because watching Patrick Mahomes work out and just warm up is awesome. He's always doing all the, he's kind of like Seth Curry. He's always doing these sort of trick throws to, I just think, to entertain himself.
Yeah, that's the wild thing, right? When he does it in a game, he's actually practiced this stuff.
That is so hard to do. Like, just to see NFL quarterbacks try to do it with their good arm, I mean, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable. He's an unbelievable guy. Well, let's talk about how unbelievable Patrick Mahomes is and how unbelievable he has to be, right? Aaron Rodgers, not the only guy that lost his top receiver this offseason. Tyreek Hill is gone from Kansas City in Miami now. So Mahomes has to put things together with what's left at receiver. So how great does he have to be to get them back to the Super Bowl?
He just has to have a representative year. He is a great player. All he has to do is play point guard. This team has more weapons than people realize. Travis Kelce's still there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Valdez-Scantling can get down the field. And they have a second-round pick in Sky Moore that a lot of people like a lot. So Patrick Mahomes just has to be himself, and they'll be in the thick of things at the end of the year. Remember a name, Ronald Jones, for fantasy football. He is really productive out of the backfield. He may be have a good year for them as well. So they're going to be fine as long as they have Patrick Mahomes.
Juju Smith-Schuster joining that team. They still have Mecole Hardman, who's been there a little while. What do you think, Diana? Mahomes going to have his best season yet without Tyreek Hill?
From what I've learned, he really likes this receiving group. They're not too concerned. Look, Andy Reid came out 3 days after Tyreek Hill was traded and was like, everyone chill. We're good. We'll figure this out. Do you guys realize who we have on our roster? You know who's under center. And you know what? I want to go back to when the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Bengals. In that second half, we saw probably the worst version of Patrick Mahomes ever. That's the last time we saw Mahomes on the field. It has a very similar feel to Ryan Tannehill when he lost to the Bengals. Just not a good performance. It wasn't as bad, obviously, but it wasn't good. So the last time we saw Mahomes, that was it. You're telling me he hasn't thought about that game and hasn't worked hard this offseason to improve, to get better? I think in a weird way, this was such a blessing for Patrick Mahomes as he continues to like to be challenged. No Tyreek Hill and coming off a bad game in front of that gigantic audience in such a crucial game. I think this is going to be the best version of Patrick Mahomes we see.
Ninko, how do you size up Mahomes ahead of this season?
Do you want an old cliche? There's no I in team. There's no I in team. It's not about one guy. It's not about one guy. So I think that they lose Tyreek, but they still have a bunch of great, great football players on this roster with Patrick Mahomes. And then on top of that, you have Andy Reid, who I think is one of the best offensive minds in football. And he's able to bring these guys together after they lose Tyreek. He even puts it out there. It's no big deal. We're going to be all right. We got a bunch of great players. So I think they're going to be good. They're in a really tough division. They're going to have to be good. But I have no worries. I think Patrick Mahomes, you know, puts them at a different level.
Yeah, offensively, there are a number of teams that would trade for the Chiefs' problems, that's for sure. You know who one of them is, Rob Ninkovich? One of them might actually be the New England Patriots. And we've been discussing them. Just they had what we're being told is arguably the worst practice of training camp offensively a couple days ago. And then second-year quarterback Mac Jones came out and spoke yesterday, and here's what he had to say about the struggles.
I'm going to figure it out. I always have, and I always will. And at the end of the day, you're going to have your ups and downs with anything new, but I've learned a lot of different systems, and the guys around me have too. And we know what football looks like. We know what a good play looks like, and it just needs to be more consistent. And we all trust in each other at the end of the day. When I walk on the field and there's 10 people that look into my eyes, I know that they're going to trust me to do the right thing on game day.
So, Foxborough resident Rob Ninkovich, what are you hearing from New England? What do you think? How do you think it's shaping up there in terms of Mac Jones and the offense?
Well, I think they're just going through growing pains. And if you look at the highlights around the NFL, the majority of defenses are getting the best of offenses. It's just that's the way it is. When you're in training camp the first couple weeks, you're trying to figure things out with new personnel, new coaches, a new system. I think this is part of the process. They're going to have some issues. Now, they haven't played a preseason game yet. We'll see tomorrow how they look in a series or two, how long ever they keep their starters out there. So, again, I'm not going crazy. I'm not hitting the panic button, but there's going to be problems. There's going to be pains. You just hope that in the early parts of the season, they figure this thing out sooner rather than later in the year. We've seen it in the past with Patriot teams. They start kind of slow, then they slowly get more confidence, and at the end of the season, they're playing their best football. So hopefully they can get back to it. I think Bill, you know, he's got some experience, decent experience with that.
He does. He's got a little bit. Diana, what are you hearing there when you listen to Mac Jones talk, and what are you hearing out of New England in general?
I'm listening to Rob, actually, and I'm listening to him talk about how New England has gotten off to a slow start in years past. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. But have you ever, Rob, heard the things that you're hearing out of New England this time of year, especially from their quarterback? They've got this new offense that we have no idea what it is that's being run by defensive-minded coaches. There just seems to be a lot of transition and change and unknown. And just based on conversations I've had around the league over the last few weeks about what is actually happening, it's that. And it's there is a sense there that it's a little it's just not on track like it normally is. It's not being run the way we normally see New England be run. So Rob's right. Maybe they clean it up over the next few weeks before week one. Maybe it even takes them through September, mid-October to really figure it out. But to me, I'm close to the panic button just because we've spent so many years watching Bill Belichick orchestrate, you know, almost perfection. And this just seems very far from it.
Panicking, Mike?
No, not at all. They're going to be fine. It's practice. You want to work out the kinks. And if Bill Belichick believes in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, that's more than good enough for me. They've both been head coaches before. And if Bill Belichick winds up calling the plays, they're going to be fine. I was with the Jets in the late 90s. Bill Parcells, the head coach, was the play caller. And, oh, by the way, all we did is get to the championship game. And Bill Belichick saw it firsthand, and I'm sure he can do it again. So Mac Jones is a young, emerging quarterback. They have a good offensive line, two good backs, two good tight ends, an underrated wide receiver group. And by the time we get to the regular season, this will be a non-story.
Yeah, Ninko mentioned they got a preseason game tomorrow night against the Giants. So maybe we'll get to see some of this that we've been discussing in action. And people will make their own overreactive judgments based on that. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check out the sport of... one-arm boxing. The fighters have to have one arm tied to each other, and they're fighting with the other arm. Ninko, is there a video of you doing this? Is this something you would attempt?
No, no. I would like two hands if I was ever boxing. You need to defend yourself. So this seems like a recipe for some type of big hit punishment that I really don't need and I don't want. So
you got the forearm.
I'll watch.
If they only had that honorable black belt.
Yes. If they only had Aaron Rodgers, if they only had Aaron Rodgers' aura, they wouldn't even need arms.
He now wants to be an honorary one-arm boxing champ. This is a metaphor for Rodgers without Adams against Mahomes without Tyreek Hill. How about that? Anyway, tonight we're going to have the 26th annual MLS All-Star Game from St. Paul, Minnesota. It's the second year that the top players in MLS will take on the top players in Liga MX, which is Mexico's top division. Our coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. We come back on Get Up. Does the big D in Dallas stand for Dak, defense, or disaster? We're talking about it.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up, we're going to play a little game of Right or Wrong, which I like because it's grammatically superior to More or Less. Mike, the 49ers are crazy for not keeping Jimmy Garoppolo. Right or wrong?
That is right. They're catastrophically crazy. He's a really good quarterback in the prime of his career. They just got to the championship game. They average 28 points per game when he's in there, win 70% of the time. What am I missing? I love Trey Lance. Let him develop, but win today with Jimmy G.
Yeah, but you know who really loves Trey Lance? Kyle Shanahan. That's why he's his quarterback. Diana, Baker Mayfield will lead the Carolina Panthers to the playoffs. Right or wrong?
Wrong. I can't get there yet. I just can't get there. Look, there are parts of Baker's game that we saw in Cleveland that was really, really good. I'm just not sure the rest of the pieces around Baker Mayfield are going to help make him great. I think the things he had in Cleveland helped him out a lot. Just not there in Carolina. No way.
Well, if they miss, it won't be because his shorts weren't short enough. Rob, the Cowboys have more questions on offense than defense. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right. Aren't we talking about their pass protection, their receiving core? The running back situation. Who's going to be the number one running back? Is it going to be Zeke? So again, I think that there's more questions on offense. The defense is pretty solid.
All right, so let's keep it there for a second because we occasionally like to talk Cowboys on this show. So when I say Mike, who is it more important that Dak be able to carry the Cowboys this year or that the defense be able to carry them?
It's Dak. That's why he's your franchise quarterback, and that's the difference between them and Philadelphia. And look, maybe it's Tony Pollard in the slot early until James Washington and Michael Gallup comes back. Maybe he has to make more plays with his feet. Last year, he only rushed 7 times for a first down. In his first 3 years, it was 94. So maybe another year off of the injury, we'll see him outside the pocket a little bit more. But that's why you're paying Dak Prescott what you are. He is your franchise quarterback. Elevate the play around you, and they're going to be fine.
Diana, what do you think?
God bless Dan Quinn if his defense can come up with takeaways like they did last year. Because, guys, when you break it down, forget the offense. It was the defense that led the Dallas Cowboys. And to be able to do that in back-to-back seasons and to rely on that would be dangerous. It wouldn't be smart. This is the season that it sits on Dak. And here's the thing. He knows. He knows it's on him. He sees the weapons around him. And, yeah, we're going back to this offense that's going to look similar to 2016, 2017. It doesn't matter what the run game looks like. Dak needs to be healthy, he needs to be mobile, and he needs to lead this team.
Ninko, final word on the Cowboys. Dak, defense, what's the biggest deal there for them?
Defense wins championships.
Yeah,
but you got to have a quarterback that can score points. Your offense has to score points. So I don't care what kind of defense. You could have the greatest defense of all time. This is 2022, a completely different style. You look back 20 years ago, okay, great. The scores were low. Defenses were tough. Now they put all these rules in place for offense to score points. So they have to go out there. They got to score points. Your quarterback has to throw a ton of touchdowns. That's just the way the game is now. And your defense hopefully can create turnovers, give your offense more opportunities to score points.
Yeah, the Cowboys put up some big numbers last year on offense, but most of them were in games against a pretty weak NFC East. I mean, do you see anywhere that there's hope for the offense to perform better outside of the division this year?
Yeah, I think it goes through Tony Pollard. He's an explosive player, and I think they got to get him the ball more in space. And again, maybe early on, Dan, it's a little bit more creative. Maybe him and Zeke are on the field together.
Yeah, it's entirely possible, and Pollard is a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Healthy Zeke would certainly help. They've been clear that he was playing hurt last year. So we'll see about the Cowboys. Meanwhile, though, let's get up and go. We're going to start with golf. The Telegraph of London is reporting that LIV Golf has reached a deal to secure Cam Smith for more than $100 million. Cam, of course, recently won the Open Championship. He's the number 2 player in the world, scheduled to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which start tomorrow. Last night in Oakland, Shohei Ohtani threw 6 shutout innings and hit his 25th home run as the Angels beat the A's 5-1. Ohtani joined Babe Ruth as the only players in Major League history to have at least 10 home runs and 10 wins in the same season. And in San Diego, Juan Soto hit his first home run as a Padre last night, and then in the 9th inning with a score tied at 4, Manny Machado hit a walk-off home run. The Padres snap a 5-game losing streak and stay classy, beating the Giants 7-4. Now it's time for my favorite athlete, Isaiah Jarvis. This is Little League World Series. Gets hit by the pitch from Caden Shelton. Shelton, I mean, look, first of all, Jarvis okay. He would be on the ground for a while, but he'd get up and go to first. The pitcher is distraught about what he has done here, and then Isaiah comes over from first base to console his opponent who just beamed him in the head. And this is Little League Baseball. How about that?
That's what makes sports so great. That is awesome sportsmanship.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Ninko.
Everyone here on the show is a parent. And I know, guys, I'm new to this. But this is one of those moments when you watch and you go, that's the kind of son I want to raise one day. That's what I hope my son can be. Because caring about people, that's what matters. Forget all the other stuff. Being a good person, that's the only thing that counts.
I was going to make a joke about did anything like this ever happen with a quarterback after Ninko sacked him, but that was so well said, Diana. I don't really want to do that. Ninko, final word on the Little League World Series.
Yeah, I agree with Diana. You know, like, I got 2 boys. I hope that if they're ever in that situation, they have that same thought and mentality. So, cheers.
Yep, best thing about youth sports is, in fact, the kids. The road to the Little League World Series continues tonight. Missouri taking on Iowa. Today, excuse me, taking on Iowa at 11 a.m. Eastern. That's the Midwest game. Then we'll have 3 elimination games. starting with New Hampshire and Massachusetts in the New England Regional, Oregon and Idaho in the Northwest, and in the Great Lakes, Kentucky and Ohio. All four games are on ESPN and the app. We're not done here yet, but when we are in a few minutes, First Take is coming up next. Will Kevin Durant be playing for the Nets to start next season? They'll talk about it at the top of the hour on First Take. Back on Get Up and looking live at the practice field in Tampa, and there, in fact, is the man himself, Tom Brady. Joint practices today between the Dolphins and Buccaneers. Brady out on the field for practice, as he is every day, I think. What are we looking for, Mike T? You're the GM of one of these teams. What are you looking to see in these joint practices?
You know, I want to see both quarterbacks. Obviously, Tua has a much higher learning curve here, but command of the offense, and they both have new personnel. Tom Brady, most notably, he has a new center. He has Julio Jones. Jeff alluded to how good he looks earlier in the show. The other interesting thing, too, Dan, is we have two new head coaches.
Yeah.
And Mike McDaniel's never coached before. He has a big learning curve. And Todd Bowles, I think, has a chance to be Coach of the Year because I have Tampa going all the way to the Super Bowl. I think he's going to do a great job his second time around. But that's an intriguing storyline to me as well.
Absolutely. Ninko, what are you looking for from your old friend Brady this year?
It's more so, just staying healthy. I know he's been healthy. He's going to be fine. But 45 years old, we know that's very old to play that position. But, you know, offensive line, I want to see the offensive line. Can they keep them upright? Yeah. Can they keep them upright? Keep them healthy. Keep them upright. Don't let them have grass stains all over them. But the joint practices, yep. I always enjoyed them because it's different matchups. You're sick of going against your own teammates, so you go against somebody else. It gets a little chippy, though. You might be a few fights in there, but it's always fun to go against different guys.
Diana, Dolphins, Bucks, joint practice. What are you hearing?
Yeah. Well, you got to figure Rob is sitting there in his air-conditioned office right now yeah. talking about Tom Brady. You got to be wondering, like, man, that has got to be so brutal. I don't care if you're 25 or 45 out in that heat. And you know, even talking to players recently, it's that part, that time of camp where everyone's hitting the wall and your body hurts, you're tired, you're kind of sick of everybody, you're sick of being around everyone, you're sick of the meetings, you're sick of the pep talks. And I just think this is going to be a nice shot in the arm for both teams. But specifically, after Jeff Darlington said that Julio Jones, that someone shared with him, looks like the younger 2019 version of Julio yep. Jones. I mean, the last time we saw Julio, he was with the Tennessee Titans, and he was just battling so many injuries. So to see that sharp of a receiver out there after what we know this Bucs team has dealt with in terms of this receiving core and some of the injuries, that's going to be gigantic. And, of course, the offensive line, that's got to be key today and on Todd Bowles' mind.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you mentioned it's apparently 83 degrees there in Tampa right now, going up to 93. But as Tannenbaum can tell you, it's not the heat. It's the humidity. Speaking of Tannenbaum, he was in training camp 12 years ago. Yes, again. We're going to show this as much as we possibly can.
Again?
This is Mike Tannenbaum fielding punts or attempting to field a punt in training camp on Hard Knocks from 2010.
Look, we have a new audience here. It bears repeating. I won the competition. It was my buddy and I against Rex and his buddy who could catch the most punts. But since Rex is so beloved, he convinced the producers to keep this footage.
And it's just over and over again. I'm like, it just will not let up. Like, is there any footage of you catching one?
You know, that's what was good. It was like Will Chamberlain scoring 100 points. There was no footage of athletic greatness.
He just hold up the little paper, right? That shows
exactly.
You, yeah. I don't know. Ninko, how are you at fielding punts?
Easy. I'd be fine. I can field a punt. I can do it. I wouldn't do, like, you know, the back pedal fall down. If that happened to me, I'd be pretty sad.
All right. Thanks for watching Get Up. I'm going to stay here and just watch this over and over again. Oh, look at that.